Welcome to the Hotel News Now Podcast Network. This latest episode of the Next Gen and Lodging Podcast celebrates women in hospitality for Women's History Month. Host Davon Reeves is joined by hotel broker Nick Sai Song and hotel owner and leadership coach Rachel Vandenberg, who share their unique journeys and triumphs in the dynamic world of hospitality. You can find this and other H&N podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Hello, 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 everyone. My name is Davon Reeves. I am the co-host of the Next Gen and Lodging podcast. And this episode, we are going to celebrate Women's History Month. So we have some phenomenal women and we have some diverse women, right? So the goal of Next Gen and Lodging is we try to make it as diverse as possible because guess what? The hospitality industry is diverse. So we have Rachel Vandenberg and we have Nick Sai Song. So I would love for you all to introduce yourself. So we're going to start with Rachel. Please introduce yourself and let the world know who you are.
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here for this important episode on Women's History Month. So my name is Rachel Vandenberg. I live in Stowe, Vermont, where my family has a 39-room hotel with a bowling alley and a miniature golf course. And I have a deep history in the hospitality industry. I'm actually the fourth generation in my family to be involved in hospitality. I started at 8 years old, ringing the dinner bell at our first family hotel, and come a long way since then. Become very passionate about hospitality, travel, and tourism over the years, and ran our hotel for 12 years as a general manager up until last year when we passed it over to a management company. And that allowed me to really lean into my passion for leadership development. I'm now a executive leadership coach, and I founded an event called Accelerate Women Leaders in Travel, which helps to elevate and empower women leaders in the hospitality industry. So that's me.
Now, you know, you can't say Stowe, Vermont without, if people don't know where that is, you may have probably heard of the movie, The Sound of Music. That's actually one of my favorite musics. I'm going to sing, as I said, the hills are alive. That's exactly what I did when I went to visit Stowe, Vermont. I wish I had a video. I don't know if I do. I was literally up on a hill singing, the hills are alive with the sound.
And it really feels like when you're out there, right? Looking at that view on their property, like it just inspires you to belt it out. So I'm with you.
It's so beautiful, beautiful. And then we have a newbie when it comes to podcasting. So this is Nick Sai Song's like first ever podcast. And I'm super excited because she's going to always remember this podcast for the rest of her life, because this is her first podcast. So Nick Sai Song, please introduce yourself. Thank you for allowing Next Gen and Lodging to host you on your first podcast. Please introduce yourself and let the world know who you are.
Thank you, Davon. So everyone, my name is Nick Sai Song. Nick Sai means smile in my language. I'm Hong American and I'm based here in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a hotel investment broker with KW Commercial. I'm based in Atlanta, but I also service out in LA. So I was living out in LA for the past 4 years, started my brokerage career out there, but I've always been in love with hotels since I was like 10 years old. Fell in love with the idea of a home away from home. Always loved travel since then. I actually went to college with Davon. So it's been an awesome journey. I think it's been over a decade now in the hotel space. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, growing in the hotel space and seeing more women. I think in the last 10 years alone, there's definitely been an increase of women in the hotel space.
Yeah, absolutely. Rachel, and thank you for that, Nick Sai. We actually met in NSMH at Georgia State University. So all of my NSMHers, which stands for the National Society of Minorities in Hospitality. But Rachel, I love your pathway. I always love it when I hear that people grew up in the business and you know your family has a 39 room hotel. So the next time I come to Vermont, I'm going to have to come and stay at your
Oh,
hotel. I want to
for
take my
sure.
son to the Ben and Jerry's.
Yes.
So I have to take him there. So I'll keep that in mind and make sure I come and stay at your property. Can you just talk a little bit about how you got started, you know, from I'm sure you had every position that you could ever think of working in a hotel because you grew up in it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I started out, like I said, we used to have like these family style dinners at the inn that my parents first ran. And so I would be ringing the dinner bell to alert everyone that dinner was ready, and standing on a chair washing dishes. And as I grew up, I worked at the front desk back when, we still had those paper tape charts where you like filled in the colors when people made reservations. Worked in the restaurant as a host, a server. And then when I came back to hospitality later in life, to run our second family hotel. My husband and I, we equally shared responsibilities for different parts of the hotel. And then I really had to learn every position. And by the time I was finished operating the day to day, I had done every position except for the line cook position, because my husband stepped into that when we had emergencies at some point.
So
So,
you had the unclogged toilets.
oh, I have done so much housekeeping, especially during COVID. Yeah, can't even count the days.
Oh wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I felt like I thought I did everything. No, but
Yeah.
I won't do the unclog the toilets and I didn't have to do the
Oh.
line cook. Now, Nixai, your path into the hospitality industry is a little different because you're actually on the hotel brokerage side. Rachel's on the ownership and operations, and you're on the brokerage side. Can you explain a little bit about how you got into the brokerage side, especially being a woman? There's actually not a lot of women hotel brokers, and a lot of women hotel brokers from Asian descent. So kudos for really changing the face of hotel brokerage.
Thank you. Yeah, so the journey, I actually got my real estate license in college. And so when I graduated from college, I thought I was just going to be a hotel broker. I thought that's all I needed. But it actually took me like 7 years to truly break in. I think it was interesting because it took me like eight different informational interviews to get to the right person to get an internship in hotel brokerage. It was interesting because I would reach out to the individuals who were hotel brokers to do informational interview, and they just so happened to be men, and they kept directing me to other women in the hotel space who had nothing to do with hotel brokerage. They were either in management or something completely different. And so I got like in this chain of just meeting people, and finally someone was like, okay, so you met that guy and he's a hotel broker. I'm not sure why he introduced you to me, but let me introduce you to another female hotel broker. And that's when I was able to get an internship. And then it kind of just started off from there.
So you basically built your career a lot just from being persistent and
Yes,
networking and building
absolutely.
relationships. So as a lot of time is I think more and more women, we're becoming more and more persistent. We typically, we're not, we're like, okay, you know what? That's not, I know that's how I was raised. I don't know how you are raised about
Yes.
being, I became more persistent because I was like, okay, this is what I want. Especially after I got turned down for a non-pay internship. Looking back at it, it is kind of embarrassing every time I tell that story. Like how someone tells you no to work for free. But I became more persistent because that's something that I really wanted. And so I love that more and more women were like, this is what we want. We're not going to take no. Rachel, did you have to? I know you were in a family business, but how was that being a woman? Were there a lot of women in your family? Were there a lot of strong, like how did that work by you being a woman in your family, in the operations and ownership side?
Yeah, I mean, I think within my family, I had a lot of support, and both my mother and father with their own strengths, you know, supported me in different ways and never set any kind of limits on what I could do. And they were pretty surprised when I turned around and said I wanted to come back and take over the family business, and thankful because they were trying to sell. So they were ready to hand it over. That wasn't the problem. But I think where I faced some challenges was really in our town, we have a destination tourism organization, and there were a lot of like legacy families that owned properties, and a lot of them were led by men. And so when I joined our board of directors, I was one of few women on the board. Our leadership and the executive director had been a man for a couple of years. And so that's where I faced some obstacles, but we worked really hard to come, to do over time to change that face of leadership. And we have, since I've been on the board, we've had two women executive directors.
I love it.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I certainly don't pat my, I mean, these women stand on their own 2 feet. But I think it really helps when you have women in leadership positions who identify other women to be in leadership positions. I think it happens more often. So I do think that was really important as we diversified the board, that it led to women taking that leadership role.
I'm just curious, and I love to hear that, about more women being on the board. How has it, because typically, I always say this, you can't get things done unless you have a woman somewhere, right? We make it happen. Okay. So how I'm just curious to hear, did a lot of things change? I'm sure for the better, once you started adding women to the board, as far as bringing different mindsets and thought process, mm-hmm. and different, because we move and we operate and we communicate differently than men. So how was that, by adding women to the board?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, it's always kind of difficult to isolate the specific variables. I do think that what I saw with our two women executives is that they really brought the organization forward. I mean, we modernized our marketing strategies. We had much better professionalized processes. There were just also, in terms of like strategic planning, we really took that to a new level. So I think that they were very instrumental in moving the organization forward.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Now, Nixa, you mentioned how you were building relationships. And now, was it with both men and women, or was it just women? Like, who really helped you throughout your career and really getting to the hotel broker side?
I would probably say mainly men, because there's just more men. I think women have definitely been there for me, and I have made a lot of relationships. But being in the hotel brokerage space, it's been predominantly men. So I think I joined like at least 5 different hotel brokerage teams until I found the right one. It's kind of like dating. You got to find the right match,
right,
and find the right team who's going to train you and actually teach you how to do brokerage. But predominantly it's been men, just because there's just more men in the space.
I love it. They were pretty much, I was at an event not too long ago, and they were saying how, men who maybe speak up for women or help train or do whatever to support, they're considered, our allies, right? So it was good to hear that you were able to find allies throughout your career. Now, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to get into hotel brokerage? Because a lot of people don't think that's in a career path, right? Mm-hmm. We have, especially when we were in college, the fact that you even said that, I didn't even think that was a possibility in becoming a hotel broker. So what advice would you give to someone, who's looking to get into hotel brokerage?
Yeah, I think I was just thinking about this the other day, like, what have I done differently had I known? Because mind you, I had just gotten out of college thinking I'm gonna go sell hotels. So it was super cute. And especially because I'm this little cute tiny girl, like, I'm gonna go sell hotels. I think if I were to do it differently, definitely probably would have started like on the ownership route or either with the bank and gotten that experience. And then, and also in that time, save enough money to do brokerage because it's commission based. I think that's what I would give advice to people, like, hey, do something that's gonna give you an advantage when you do become a broker. Build those relationships on the ownership side, understand the underwriting process, and then break into brokerage because that way you can provide value as a broker because now you understand how to underwrite and how to own a hotel.
That's some really good advice. Now, Rachel, what advice would you give? Because a lot of the brands, now is your hotel a brand or is it independent?
Independent.
That's what I thought. I know a lot of the brands, they're really pushing, they have a lot of initiatives to increase women hotel owners by you being in the ownership role and basically grew up in the industry. What advice would you give to women who are trying to get into the hotel ownership?
That's a good question because I kind of fell into hotel ownership by legacy and by accident, and I always I had Tracy Prigmore on my podcast and some of her She Has a Deal participants recently, and I told them and you Davon how much I admire you for really starting from the scratch. I had something basically handed to me. So it's difficult to give advice not having had that experience of what it means to really have to scrap it together, and really learn organically from the process. But I think what I would say about it is that anytime, if you're in the hospitality industry and you're working at, in different departments and you have an interest in hotel ownership, is just really building those relationships with people who can teach you something about it. It's taking advantage of leadership programs or the women in ownership programs that are out there through the brands. I mean, almost every brand has one now. Making sure you educate yourself, following Davon Reeves and all the expertise that you have to offer, things like that. That's what I think it comes down to breaking through.
No, I love that, and it's so amazing that you were fortunate enough to get into hotel ownership, through legacy. But you still had to work for it. You still had to let, your parents know, because they could have easily said, no, we don't think that you're ready. We're not going to give you the family business. We don't think that you're capable of doing it. So we're just going to sell it because we don't think that you can do it. And clearly, you proved yourself that I'm capable. I can run it. I can own it. I can operate it. So you also mentioned how you have like an accelerator program for women in leadership. I would love for you to talk some more about that because you just mentioned how women should get more into like leadership programs. So I would love for you to talk more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did a big expansion of our hotel. We were only like about 25 rooms. We didn't have the restaurant, the bowling. In about 2015, we started a construction project to double our size, and triple our revenue base. And in that process, I was just feeling I was I didn't have what I needed to move forward in this next stage. I didn't have the like-minded women who I could talk to about what it was like to run a hotel like this. And I needed more of those leadership skills. And I didn't have a community. So I said, well, I'm going to create one. So I created a yearly retreat for women leaders in hospitality in New England, and that has now grown to 70 women who will be at our next retreat for a sellout event.
I don't have a horn to go.
Yeah, thank you.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, it really, thank you. It really is. And it's such, I mean, it's first and foremost about that community. When we come together, this will be our 5th year having the retreat. And when we come together, just that feeling of support and camaraderie that you have. And our second pillar is about the building those leadership skills. And we do workshops that are coach-led. People really walk away with, new skills and mindsets on how to elevate their leadership. It's been life-changing for me, and I've heard many great stories about people who have been involved.
Well, I mean, it's been going on for 5 years,
Yeah.
so kudos to you. And you mentioned a really key word, community, right? People, like-minded individuals, who can you call on who like can understand what you're going through? Like, okay, how
Yes.
do I tackle this? How do I handle this? Because if you never It's hard, in my opinion, it's hard to really talk to somebody who's never really been in your shoes or even close to it,
Yeah.
right? So if you can talk to someone who's been in a, who's been a, or even someone who's done it, mastered it, and you can like, hey, I'm going through this issue, how can you help me? So having a community is a key point. Nick, I have a one of my former coworkers. She's from China, her husband. And I know you're not from China or anything, but the point I'm trying to get to is that she mentioned something that didn't dawn on me, that there's not a lot of people in the, I guess the Eastern Asian when it comes to the hospitality industry. And we were in New England at the time when I was in Boston, and she was mentioning how she was looking for a community. And it didn't dawn on me. Right, because there's organizations like NABHOOD, I've created a community, so there's a lot of different community for Black people, but there's not a lot of from I don't know if it's changed since then, but she mentioned how that there is there wasn't a lot of community for people, from Eastern Asia in the hotel industry. So she was constantly looking and trying to just find people. So that way, even though we were real close, I couldn't, some of the things I couldn't understand what she was going through. And, she'll share and, same thing with me. But it's always good to have the community with like-minded individuals and culture. And, it's always good to learn. But how have you navigated that space? Now remind me, what's the name of your it's
Ethnicity.
yes.
Yes. So I'm Hmong. So
Okay.
I'm Southeast Asian. I guess
Okay.
it's hard to describe because it's like East Asians, Southeast Asians, I guess any Asians that's non-Indian, because I think the
Yeah.
hotel space is predominantly
Right.
Indian Asians.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a challenge for me as well. There's not really a community for that. I think there's like Korean Hotel Motel Association. There's a Taiwanese one. But in terms of like Chinese, I don't know if that exists. But for myself, yes, it's definitely been a challenge to find someone who looks like me or with a similar background to build a community with. I think I've been able to get like to find real estate organizations that are East Asians or Southeast Asians. But even then, it's not the same because I think hotels is its own animal. So it's like, how do you relate to somebody and how do you talk to them about hotels versus leasing or office, multifamily? Because it's a different niche. But it's definitely been a challenge, and it's something that I've been thinking about, like, how do I build a community for, East Asian, Southeast Asian, East Asians that are non, Indian Asians. That's definitely a goal of mine.
And I have a feeling that you are going to accomplish it because you are very persistent and a go-getter, and I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
And you'll do it. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
But time goes by so fast when you are having fun. So, Rachel, how can people find you? How can we stay at your hotel? Because when you mentioned bowling alley, I was like, wait a minute, I need to add that to my
Yeah.
summer plans. If not this year, next year to bring my little one so we can go bowling in Vermont.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you, I just wanted to share one quick thing. Do I have a
Please.
like a, so I don't know if you are, because both of you are from Atlanta. I don't know if you're going to Hunter next week. But so they just dropped a press release yesterday that they're going to achieve 51% on their conference stages for women and underrepresented groups.
Oh, that is, I missed that. That is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That is so awesome.
And the other thing I want to share about that is that so through Accelerate Women Leaders in Travel, I am part of the Women in Hospitality Leadership Alliance that was founded by Rachel Humphrey. And this is a alliance of over 30 women in hospitality organizations. And we have been working with conference organizers and collaborating to promote more women on podium stages. So this, this achievement of 51% at Hunter, we really feel like has come through those
Oh, yeah,
conversations, and
absolutely.
they've made some really deliberate efforts to get there. So it's very relevant for our conversation on women in Women's History Month, and I thought both of you would be interested in that. So I can be found on LinkedIn. My leadership coaching company is called The Travel Leader. I also have a podcast with the same name and a newsletter. So that's the best way to find me. And please come visit me at the Sun and Ski Inn and Suites in Stowe, Vermont. I love hosting other hospitality people.
I love it. I love it. Nixar, please let folks know how they can find you.
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. Email is probably the best to contact me.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much. This has been absolutely great. I always love doing our Women's History Month edition because I get to hear so many wonderful stories and it's just an opportunity. You know, you have more fun with girls anyway, right? So, this has just been a great time. Thank you all so much for tuning in for the Next Gen and Lodging podcast powered by Hotel News Now and CoStar. My name is Davon Rees, one of your co-hosts. The other co-host, Omari Head, who's a hotel broker, and Christopher Henry, who's an international hospitality consultant. And again, my name is Davon Rees, co-owner of three hotels, as well as CEO and founder of Vestor, which is a crowdfunding platform. We will see you all next time. And I look forward to seeing you in Atlanta, Nixai. And I can't wait. One day I'm gonna be on your podcast, Rachel. And then I'm gonna come
Okay.
visit your
Absolutely.
hotel and me and my baby, we're gonna play bowling. So thank you
Awesome.
all
Well,
so
and
much.
I'll be at Hunter next week, so
Oh,
I get to meet both of
this is
you.
exciting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I will see you all next week. And thank you all. Talk next time.
Hi, I'm Isaac Colazo, Vice President of Analytics at STR.
Hi, and I'm Jan Fajtak, National Director for Hospitality Analytics for the CoStar Group. Tune in to our new show, Tell Me More, a Hospitality Data Podcast.
It's a podcast on the global hotel industry, its current trends, what we're thinking about, and where the industry's going.
And we like to have fun with the data, too. Find us on hotelnewsnow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe today.
This episode of the Next Gen and Lodging podcast on the Hotel News Now podcast network was recorded on March 15th. It was edited by Robert McCune. You can find this and other H&N podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts. I'm Robert McCune. Thanks for listening.